The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids. Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings, everybody, and happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends. Coming up in this week's edition, we preview the CONCACAF Champions League draw, which takes place in Miami on Monday night. We've already had a half-day trade window. Yep, not a full day, but a half-day. We react to the expansion draft, free agency, and the waiver draft. Lots to keep track of. And we'll consider the 2017 season, now officially closed for business following MLS Cup last weekend. Plus, we give you a double dose of our season review with July and August combined as our special gift to you. First, though, the Rapids are back in the Champions League mix. They will be one of 16 teams in next Monday's draw, which will take place at 5 p.m. Mountain Time at the Univision Studios in Miami. Among those in attendance will be Porig Smith, who was involved in the waiver draft this week. He's been speaking to Dylan Gannon about that and much more.
All right, Porig, it's been an exciting couple of days here. A couple new players into the fold. Let's start with Kip Colvey at first. What are you expecting to see out of him?
Well, we're excited to bring Kip in. He's somebody that obviously we've seen in the league before and seen in his time in USL, but crucially somebody that Anthony has a great knowledge of, and obviously Kip himself has played for Anthony, so knows what he expects as well. I think being able to bring somebody in with his versatility, primarily he is a right-sided wing-back, but he can also play on the left side as well, and I think that versatility is very important in MLS. I think it's important as you build out a roster in a salary cap league to have, you know, strong players, especially young up-and-coming players, that can come in and do a very, very good job and challenge those players to really improve the overall squad depth.
Now, talk about the New Zealand connection a little more, obviously. He featured in both of those games against Peru, the World Cup qualifiers. How much does that help both the squad and Anthony Hudson as well, knowing that, you know, he's familiar with someone on the team already?
It is. It's a tremendous advantage, and there's no doubt we get an additional piece of insight in the fact that Anthony knows Kip so well. I think when you look at the changes that we're trying to make here, not just from a personnel standpoint, but obviously from a style and tactical perspective, I think having a number of players in the building who know what Anthony likes, who know how he wants to play, and who can execute against that will obviously be beneficial for everybody.
Now, also coming in, Jack McBean, he obviously scored two goals here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park in June. Just talk about the thought process on bringing him in and what we can expect to see from him.
Again, I think Jack's a strong, young, up-and-coming player who maybe got lost in the shuffle a little bit in LA, and I think a change of scenery will help him. We're obviously, again, trying to build, you know, a deep roster, and we want to make sure that our coach always has options when he looks up and down the list of players that he can call upon. And I think bringing in someone like Jack, again, for such a young player, has great experience in the league. He's been around for quite some time. Right. He knows what it takes, and I think he'll be, again, another valuable addition to the overall roster.
Now let's move on to the Champions League. What does it mean for you, for the coaching staff, the whole Rapids organization to be back in this tournament?
It's very exciting to be back. Obviously, it's quite some time since the club was involved in the Champions League, and it's something to look forward to. It's going to be a real test. And I think if you look at where we are in our evolution and our transition, you know, I think this is going to be the first real competitive game that this group of players will play under Anthony Hudson. So that's something that we're very excited about and very much looking forward to.
Now, being in Pot 2 presents its challenges for those that may not necessarily know the ins and outs of all the pots in the Champions League. What does that exactly mean?
Well, obviously it does. I mean, when you're not seeded in that first pot, the talent and the level of competition that you're going to face in this first game increases. So, you know, we're excited about it. And I think it's a great way for us to begin this 2018 campaign. We'll play, obviously, one of the top Mexican teams or the reigning MLS Cup champions in Toronto. So that's very, very exciting. And again, it'll be a big test for our group, but a wonderful opportunity for them to become accustomed with each other on the field and also to really start to play in the way that Anthony wants them to play. So it's a really, really exciting proposition.
We obviously know about Toronto, but like you said, you're going to play one of the top four Mexican teams that are out there in Chivas, Guadalajara, Club America, Tigres, and then Club Tijuana. What do you know about those four sides?
Well, I know they're very, very talented teams and very deep teams, and I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for us if we are drawn against those teams to go and really play some top-level competition before the start of the 2018 MLS season. So we're looking forward to it. There's no doubt it's a huge task. We go into every competition and go into every game wanting to win, but we're not blind to the fact that we're playing against some top-level teams here. But we see it as an opportunity, we see it as a challenge for our guys, and we see it as a wonderful occasion for our fans and for the club. And ultimately, we look at this as games that we want to win, but games that are going to help us set the scene for the 2018 MLS season.
Is the style of play going to differ at all?
No, I think one of the important things, especially here at home, is to ensure that we're working on the style that Anthony's trying to implement. And I think this will be a great opportunity to do that against some top-level opposition in advance of the season kicking off in MLS.
Obviously, this is a great honor to be in this tournament, but that also means a shorter preseason. How are you guys preparing to get the squad ready for not just this tournament, but as you said, a long MLS season?
Yeah, without a doubt, it is a very short preseason for us. And I think Anthony's alluded to that in some of the comments that he's made. The key thing for us isn't actually what happens in preseason. It's the preparation that we do now and making sure that all our players are aware of what's expected of them. Every player has received a letter and a recording from us so that they know exactly where they need to be the day they set foot back here in Colorado on January 22nd. So I think the work that they put in now will be crucial to that. It's also incumbent on us to make sure that we have the right coaches in place, that we have the head of sports science in place, and that everybody is here to ensure that we hit the ground running when we begin the season.
Just a couple more. Off the back of 2017, there's going to be new faces. Obviously, we know about the new coach, new players coming to the fold. But what are realistic aims for this tournament and maybe some things coming ahead in the regular season as well?
Well, I think we've been very clear in terms of who we want to be and where we want to be long term. There's no doubt this is a transitional moment for the team and a very important one. And I think it's one that we've taken the right steps toward. I think from us, we go into every tournament, as I said, looking to win it. But we're very cognizant of the fact that we're coming up against some top level talent in the Champions League at the beginning stage. But that's something that we'll deal with and take that challenge on head on. Then as we get into the MLS season, I think the Champions League will help us in that preparation. But the key thing for us is to build a roster that can compete and compete consistently. We want to be a perennial playoff team. We want to be a team that puts ourselves in a position to win championships. We're not blind to the fact that that's a big challenge, but it's something that we're up for and looking forward to.
And what do the numbers suggest for those playing in Champions League and how that impacts the regular season?
Well, I think if you look at it, it's obviously a different format this year, so you're not going through the group stage. You're going straight into this two-legged playoff game. But I think it's an ideal opportunity to prepare for the start of the MLS season. I think any time you face competition of this calibre, it tests you and it enables you to play up to a certain standard. So that's something we're excited about. I don't think we could have a better start to the season than going in and facing this level of competition. So we're thrilled with that, excited to be back in the competition and looking forward to a positive 2018.
Sounds great, Porg. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There's Dylan Gannon in conversation with Porg Smith. You can follow draw proceedings on coloradorapids.com and on the club's social media channels, Twitter and Facebook. Richard Fleming is with me. Explain who we could get, who's off limits, how does this whole thing work?
Well, the Rapids are in pot two. Pot one and pot two. Pot one are the seeded teams. Pot two, of course, the rest, and the Rapids are among those. In pot one are the four Mexican teams, plus Toronto, plus the other three MLS team, so that is New York Red Bulls, Seattle and FC Dallas. The Rapids cannot draw any of those three. They can't draw anybody from their own country. They could draw Toronto. They could draw the four teams from Mexico. That includes Tigres, Guadalajara, Club America and Tijuana. So four tough sides. This first round, which is the round of 16, will be played over two legs, home and away. And those games will be played in February. So it's interesting because this will be before the start of the season, before the start of the regular season. And as we heard there from Porik, it's interesting on a number of levels. For me, the sharpness of the side, bearing in mind they're going to have a shorter preseason, and we talked about that in the interview with Porik. But also, whichever way it goes against the team in that round of 16, you would hope that it's going to make the Rapids sharper and have those competitive juices flowing earlier ahead of that season opener in the first weekend of March.
So what do we know about potential opponents and what are the dates of these games?
So we're looking at, I think, the week of February the 20th, February 19th, something like that, that week for the first leg, and then the second leg will be the following week, and then, of course, that following weekend after the second leg is the first weekend of March, the opening weekend of the MLS regular season. In terms of opponents, well, the four Mexican teams are very strong, technically very good. You would think that they wouldn't fancy their a trip to Colorado in mid-February at altitude. But then, of course, the Rapids will also have to go to Mexico. It can be intimidating. It can be a hostile environment. Obviously, the travel, technically very good sides, these Mexican teams. And then you look at Toronto, the other potential opponent. Just coming off an MLS Cup win, 2-0 win against Seattle last weekend. The treble winners, Canadian Championship, which I think involves two teams, does it? Something like that?
It feels like two teams. I think you got Vancouver, Edmonton, Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal. But, yeah, congratulations for that Canadian championship.
Yeah, so, look, a cup is a cup is a cup, but certainly you would think it doesn't seem to be as competitive as US Open Cup. But that said, there's still treble winners, Supporters Shield, MLS Cup, Canadian Championship. We'll know a bit more about those guys, certainly individual players, certainly the way they play and having come up against them as well during MLS. But this is a fantastic opportunity. It's wonderful. This is based upon the 2016 showing, of course, because the Rapids didn't have a very good 2017. It's going to be interesting from a transitional standpoint as well. And again, a topic touched upon there with Porik. New coaches, a whole host of new players for the Rapids and a shorter pre-season window. So that turnaround time is going to be absolutely vital. The training sessions in Casa Grande and Tucson, again, are going to be, it's going to be imperative that these players arrive in camp knowing what is expected of them, coming back with a very good foundation of fitness, because they're back on the, 22nd of January, 23rd of January, and within 4 weeks, they're in Champions League action, so not a lot of time to hit the ground, and hopefully they can move beyond the round of 16.
And lastly, before we move on, tickets available for these, I assume?
I imagine those folk that deal in that area, keep across coloradorapids.com, and I imagine after Monday we'll know whether we're hosting the first leg and the dates, and then, yes, those tickets will be available. I imagine if it's a Mexican team, there will be a big contingent at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, irrespective of which Mexican team, because of the Hispanic demographic around Colorado. So, on the one hand, it's fantastic that we're going to be hosting a Champions League game. If it's a Mexican team, it could have a bit of a feeling like the U.S., the national side have experienced down the years. It could have an element of almost like a road game because of the concentration of Mexican fans. But it's great to be back in the Champions League. And again, as Porik said in that interview, this is kind of where the Rapids want to be. They want to be perennial playoff contenders. They want to be pushing for cups, whether it's Open Cup, whether it's Supporters Shield, whether it's MLS Cup. But, you know, you've got to walk the walk. And the Rapids are now heading into that draw. They'll know their opponents. And they've got to look to try and go as deep as they can into this competition. And then, of course, put in a decent shift in 2018 in the regular season.
Well, we'll have reaction from the draw in next week's podcast as the CONCACAF Champions League kicks off our 2018 season. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids Podcast, presented by Advocare. Next, we move on to the 2017 season review. Richard Fleming looks back on the months of July and August.
These two key summer months would be telling for the Rapids, with ground to make up, and even with a Gold Cup break during July, the team would still be involved in 9 games, and the period started well.
Nice from Saeed. Badji does well to find Cerner. Doyle. Can Doyle finish? There's your answer! Wonderfully worked! And Kevin Doyle has got his fourth of the season. Torres! And he has got the goal. They've been threatening, and Eric Torres just poked his boot through the legs of Mike DeFont, I think.
Doyle looking for Badji. Badji back across goal. Easy does it!
As simple as you like. Doyle squares it to Hairston. Hairston on the angle. Can he find the third? Oh, that is beautiful! That is absolutely sumptuous.
Yes, three assists for Dominic Badgey, two assists and a goal for Kevin Doyle, and goals from Marlon Hairston, allowing the Rapids to defeat Houston Dynamo 3-1 at home on the first day of July. 3 days later, and defending champions Seattle Sounders FC were in Commerce City for a 4th of July showdown. The Rapids lost 3-1 at home by a Sounders side which lost both Osvaldo Alonso and Chad Marshall to injury inside the opening 22 minutes. Two home games followed by two road games, but not before an 18-day break. When duties resumed, the Rapids snatched their first road point of the campaign at none other than Toronto FC.
Here is Vasquez now as he looks to pick the pass to Jovinko. Jovinko will get on the end of this one here. And 15 minutes from the end.
7 days on from that encounter, and the Rapids were unable to kick on, suffering a 1-0 loss at San Jose Earthquakes in the last game of July. August began with two ties, kick-started by a 2-2 draw with Vancouver at home.
Still some work to do. Feeding Harvey. Bodies in the middle. Defont gets ahead there. Shot from distance, trying to stroke it in, and he does so majestically and perfectly. And I think it's Tony Charney. Saeed. Schuberg at the back post. He's got to do something, and he has. And Axel Schuberg may be just as cute as Charney. He's gone between the legs of David Ostead, and we're all square. Doyle finding Gashi. Doyle again. Finds Saeed. Hairston's tearing through. Doyle's on the far side. Saeed maybe looking for his first goal in Major League Soccer. Hairston looking for his fourth of the season. Doyle! It was one or the other, and Kevin Doyle's got goal number 5 on the season and goal number 2 on the night. Inside the last 15 minutes, but can Vancouver get on level terms? It's an easy one, and Freddie Montero was absolutely wide open, and it's 2-2.
Kevin Doyle among the scorers with what would turn out to be his last ever goal in professional soccer, while Axel Schuberg with his first ever professional goal at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. A gutsy, goalless draw at FC Dallas on August 12th would be a last game in charge for head coach Pablo Mastroeni, with Steve Cook taking over temporary control. 3 games to end the month were all defeats, starting with a 1-0 loss at home to DC United, courtesy of a long-distance own goal from Jared Watts. The start of 4 successive road games brought a 2-1 midweek reversal at Portland Timbers on August 23rd, before a 4-1 humbling at Rail Salt Lake brought a first MLS goal for Joshua Gatt, given after video review, but ultimately allowed RSL to keep the Rocky Mountain Cup for another year.
Can never get too much of Richard Fleming, and he joins me now in our Altitude Radio studios. And so the offseason has begun. Half-day trade window, expansion draft, waiver draft. Saw the start of free agency. Some interesting names on there, including Mr. Andrew Moore of Toronto FC. You like that dramatic pause right there? Yes. Who caught your eye?
There was an incredible amount of moves and some big moves as well. And the interesting one for me early on was Walker Zimmerman going from FC Dallas to
LAFC.
LAFC. And I think it was $250,000 in general allocation, $250,000 in TAM as well, which is, of course,
which has been
targeted.
As well,
And then there was the number one allocation ranking that then went to FC Dallas. So $500,000 in allocation money split between the two versions, and the number one ranking for Walker Zimmerman was, I thought, was a good bit of business from FC Dallas. Then you look at Kai Kamara.
Yeah, going to Vancouver.
From the Revolution, and Darlington Nagbe.
Yeah.
Which that was an incredible piece of business from Portland. And it was interesting the way that they kind of addressed that. Their argument was, if we went outside of the league, we wouldn't get this kind of package that we were set to get.
Sure.
So, you know, more than $1 million, Darlington Nagbe going to Atlanta, who have been very busy during the offseason, making a number of trades, and they're looking towards Central and South America. You can see where they're continuing with their thread. LAFC, as you would expect, having to build older roster. They picked up five in the expansion draft, then they traded two to Montreal to get Simon. So, you know, this is now, although, you know, MLS Cup has finished, this is where the next few weeks it's kind of whetting the appetite. We're seeing a lot of movement, and some clubs are having to make more moves than others, and obviously the Rapids being one of them. But yeah, I mean, it's we're approaching the re-entry draft stage one, and then the re-entry draft stage two will be next week. So those that are unaware, re-entry draft stage one, if you acquire a player, you have to acquire him on his current deal. Re-entry stage two is kind of, you know, the player has blinked, and the club can renegotiate that deal, and more often than not, they'll negotiate it down so that it fits in with any salary cap.
See what happens. Of course, we'll have it all for you. Reaction and exclusive interviews you can't get anywhere else here on the Rapids podcast presented by Advocare. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
I'm going to be a little greedy this week.
Oh, don't you dare, you selfish, just intolerable.
I'm going for the hat trick. Now, first, as much as...
Should I get up and go get a coffee or something?
Yeah, have a breather.
I'll be right back, everybody. See you later. Enjoy.
First of all, as much as MLS would be nowhere without the generous, there we go, without the generous owners, I really do think, and I may mention it after the game on Saturday, I think the idea of handing the MLS Cup to the owner and then the owner passes it to the captain, I think is kind of seen its day. I know it's something that is popular within the other North American sports. No?
I mean, I take the best trophy presentation in American sports, and that's the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So the commissioner hands it to the captain of the team, and then the captain sees
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Actually, you know what? I don't know what they do in the Super Bowl. To be honest with you, I think that the owner's up there. I mean, there's that picture of Pat Boland that's very famous, and this one's for John, right? And then he hands it there. So I don't know if they've changed, but I have the Stanley Cup presentation as sort of my benchmark as to where it should go. But I think it should go right to a player first, in my humble opinion.
Well, and that is my point. And somebody suggested last week that maybe it's the owner passing it to the captain as opposed to the commissioner handing it to the captain. Now, you know, that can be kind of determined at a later date. I just think that the players, having busted their backsides for the entire season, and this is the pinnacle of that season, for there to be that go-between. And I think also from a televisual standpoint and from the fans in the stadium, it's like it's delaying the celebration. Get it to the captain, have the captain stand amongst the players, raise the trophy, and you're all done. It just seems to be there's too many kind of chefs within that particular kitchen. Second, the defending champion. This is interesting. We've been talking about drafts and re-entry drafts and waiver drafts and what have you. The defending champions, Seattle, as they were before last weekend's MLS Cup, 2017 runners-up. Why then have Seattle Sounders, one of the league's darlings and not short of pulling power, just lost one of their most consistent performers, Jovin Jones, to a German second division club? I get that players want to leave and that money is a motivating factor, or the desire to move to Europe, slide into the shop window in the hope that it leads to something bigger. But when players are leaving the league's biggest clubs and heading to, with all due respect, lesser lights in Europe, it's a bit of a smack in the face. And third, this is the hat trick. Sunil Gulati spoke on the subject of pay-to-play model in the USA this week. He was quoted as saying, "We're not going to get rid of pay-to-play. Somebody's got to pay. It's just a question of who is paying." He then went on to suggest it would cost hundreds of millions of dollars to end it. Now, where to start here? Because when the initial model is built on being a business and making a profit and having salaried staff, then of course somebody has to pay. But the issue here is what ought to be reasonable. The model is wrong, in my opinion. It will now be tough to fully row back, but there does need to be room for all approaches. Sadly, money talks, even at grassroots level of sport. And equipment, coaches, best facilities, best window for college scouts, I get that. It's going to cost. But the system itself is not set up for success when one of the fundamental gauges for that success is pure profit.
Richard Fleming preaching. And that brings us to the merciful end of the Rapids podcast. Again, happy Hanukkah. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again next week as we review the CONCACAF draw held in Miami on Monday. As always, thanks for being here. Enjoy the week. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.